Hello and welcome to another episode of OT Go To. I'm Michelle, your go-to guide to everything occupational therapy. And today is episode 11. In today's episode, I thought that I would interview a man that has been behind the scenes since day one and not a lot of people know about, and that's my dad. He has helped me from day one, so I thought, why not bring him in for an episode? So, hey, Dad.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me on today.
He is the one that kind of helped to push me to go into doing this podcast and really helped to make my dream a reality. So I thought I'd bring him here today, and I'm also going to talk a little bit about some of the equipment and stuff we use. That's kind of the biggest question that I get from guests that are on my podcast or just friends or other people I come into contact with. The biggest question is, how on earth do you do a podcast, and what's kind of the operation behind it? And so I thought I'd give you guys an inside look at kind of the stuff that I do on a daily basis when I do a podcast, and kind of, yeah, a behind-the-scenes look. But definitely one of the behind-the-scenes men is my dad. And he's going to be here to help me explain some of this really confusing equipment. A lot of people also ask how I got started doing my podcast. And as I said, in my very first podcast, I kind of talked about my idea. And my dad, like I said, was one of the people that was there when I was explaining to him my frustrations with not being able to find what I wanted online. And he is a huge fan of podcasts, aren't you, Dad?
I am. I've been a big fan of podcasting for probably 7 or 8 years, pretty much since the first podcast came out. I like listening to the audio portion. I mean, I love podcasts because I can ride my bike, I can go on a walk, I can listen to things that I want to listen to. Where if you're watching videos or working on a computer, you got to be at a desk. So I like the portability of podcasts a lot. So I encourage the spoken word as a way of connecting with people.
Yeah, he was encouraging me. You were encouraging me a lot to listen to different podcasts. And if I ever had a question, you would tell me, oh, well, you know, I bet there's a podcast on that. And I think for a long time, I kind of, you know, took for granted what he was saying and didn't really invest that much time in looking at podcasts, for one, because I didn't really understand them. And I didn't know really how you found a podcast, to be quite honest with you. I knew that they involved iTunes. And so anyway, it came around the time when I was looking for more information about occupational therapy, and I was in the program, and I kind of thought, oh, there's got to be a good way for me to study, you know, while I'm out running or doing different things like that. And I tried looking up different podcasts, and there really weren't any anywhere. And you remember we were on a drive, and we were listening to a podcast, and it was a podcast from AOTA, but it was a long time ago. They were really old episodes. I think they'd been discontinued for like a year or something like that. You said to me, you could do something like this. And so that was kind of like the first thought that I had about it. And then we were all sitting at the dinner table, and I think this was at last summer, so this was in like June or July of 2012, and we were all sitting around the table and talking about my field work and how it was going, and I was telling him about a patient that I was working with that I just couldn't find any information online that I was looking for, and I had given her a lot of resources as far as like handouts and different written information on how to perform these different exercises and stuff. And I was frustrated, though, because I wanted to find a video or some sort of other form of media to give to her that would maybe help her know how to use this particular equipment that I was sending home. And so at the dinner table, I was joking around that, you know, maybe it'd just be easier if I made my own website. And I joked around, and I don't know how the name came to me, but I said, and I'll name it OT Go-To, because I'll be, like, the go-to person. And it was kind of just all a joke. And then it kind of happened.
And then what I did is I went and got the domain name, got you a website, I set it up for you, and I said, okay, it's all up to you now.
Yep. He was definitely the pushing factor. So once I kind of set the idea, and once he got the website, then I was knee deep. I had no choice but to do it. So, yep, definitely couldn't have done it without you. So then once I got my domain name and everything, then that was a huge learning curve. I came down to his office and he was trying to help me figure out how to post into iTunes, and that ended up, we were watching YouTube videos that people posted. I don't know, do you remember what that YouTube guy is called? Audacity or something?
The Audacity Podcast.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of instructional YouTube videos out about how to put together a podcast. And I learned from other people. The nice thing is there's people out there that are willing to teach you what you need to do. Well, when you decided you wanted to go down this path, you just reached out to a few people and said, would you be a guest on my podcast? And they were all very accommodating to you.
Yeah, I think I remember my very first interview, and many of you will remember it because I think it was episode maybe 3. It was with Karen Jacobs, and she was a former AOTA president, and I reached out to her and just kind of on a whim said, hey, would you want to be a guest on my podcast? And it's episode 4, actually, if you're interested. Episode 4 and 5 she was on. And I just reached out to her and asked if she wanted to be a guest. And I was really surprised when she emailed me back, you know, within the hour and said, yeah, I'd love to be a guest. Can you do it tonight? And that was really my first big push doing any form of interview or anything. And so we rushed here to my dad's office because he has a lot of the equipment, which I'll be showing you, and got it all set up. And a lot of the time, if I do an interview, if they're not here, we do it through Skype. And I was nervous. I was super nervous because I thought, oh, here, my very first interview. It's not with just anybody. It's with the former, you know, president of AOTA. So that was semi-nerve-wracking, but she made me feel really comfortable, and she was really great. So I was happy to have her as a guest. Yeah, it was definitely a big learning curve figuring out how to make a website and open up iTunes and do all that kind of stuff. And I think both of us learned by watching YouTube videos or different things like that, which I think further shows the importance of social media or different forms of multimedia to help people learn, because everybody learns in different ways. So, and for my dad and I, we learned through watching videos on how to do stuff. So anything else that you can think of exciting about when we set up the website?
Well, it's a learning curve. We set up a website using WordPress. Now, WordPress has a couple ways you can go. You can either have your own domain and a WordPress backbone, I guess, that you can download for free from WordPress, or you can go onto WordPress and set up your own blog on WordPress. I'm a big believer in controlling your own destiny. Or Michelle owns her own domain name, OTGo2, and she controls what goes up and what can be taken down off of her website. And there's a lot of ways that you can put plugins that allow you to do a lot of different things. And I'm just learning different plugins and how they work in WordPress. It's a learning curve, and we're by no stretch of the imagination experts at this, and we're learning all the time. And it can be very time-consuming. I always tell Michelle, every good idea degenerates into a lot of hard work. A podcast is easy to record, but it takes a lot of time to edit it and prepare it, and then we have to upload the podcast to a platform that stores the audio file, and then we have to reference that audio file in the WordPress posting, which downloads it into iTunes. And it's pretty complicated the first couple times. After the first couple times, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah, it definitely, I think that it was a lot harder than I thought. And I was telling my dad this, that he didn't know this about me until we were just kind of chatting about the whole journey of getting this podcast going, is that the very first podcast that we did, for one, it took a really, really long time. I recorded the podcast, and then he helped me make sure that it got on iTunes okay, and getting iTunes set up was a lot harder than we thought. But once it was actually up and, you know, people could potentially download it, I think I went home and I cried. And I was kind of surprised by my reaction, but it was kind of a little bit of, you know, excitement that it finally, my idea had come to fruition, but also just flat out nervous that I, you know, delved into this website and this whole big thing that I wanted to do, and I was kind of worried that it would be a flop. And it was a lot of pressure, and that's something that I've definitely had to learn to deal with, is to manage my expectations and also just, you know, have a little confidence in myself and just keep doing the things that I love to do. And my family and my friends definitely were very positive, and as freaked out as I was for that first, you know, week that it was up, they kept telling me to keep going, and I kept doing podcasts. And then, you know, before I knew it, I just had an outpouring of support from other OTs from really all over the world. And so that's kind of what gave me the courage.
What I find interesting is you've got as many followers in the United Kingdom as you do in the United States. And then you've got some in a lot in Australia. You've got some in Turkey. You've got an international audience. And it's so amazing that just sitting here at a desk in Salt Lake City, Utah, you can reach out and touch people from all over the world. And you're building up a community and a group of contacts that can benefit you for your entire career in occupational therapy.
Well, thanks, Dan. Okay, so as far as the equipment, a lot of people ask about how I got the equipment and how I got started. And actually, the real truth is that when I was younger, I used to sing, and no, I'm not going to sing for you. my sister and I both used to sing, and we would occasionally record ourselves. So we kind of had a lot of this equipment that we would use to record ourselves. And then we had a program called Cool Edit 2000.
Yeah, and it's no longer in existence. You can't even buy that program. That program was pretty much bought up by Adobe, and now it's part of the Adobe suite. Okay. But we have one of the original editions of Cool Edit that I still use for my editing. And you've started using Audacity, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I at the beginning I used Cool Edit because it's kind of what I was familiar with for when I would record myself singing, and I knew how to kind of work it. It's really basic. But I recently started using Audacity. And so Audacity is just it's a program, basically, that you download your audio file and you can change it. You can edit things. You can delete things. You can add, you could distort your voice if you wanted, or add silence, or really any form of edits. I also like it because, you know, sometimes in an interview when I'm interviewing somebody, we'll kind of like jump around and it doesn't actually really flow that well. But with Audacity, it lets you do kind of these markers, so I can mark what different parts of the conversation we're about. And then later on, if I feel like it flows better, I can kind of help to mix it in what makes a little bit more sense, with a little more
flow. So basically cut and pasting audio clips is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it's just basically an audio editing program.
Hmm.
And I think that it's free.
It's
online.
Free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got it free offline. Something that's been really helpful for me to figure out how to edit and how to use the program is I actually listened to a podcast that talks about podcasting, and it's called The Audacity to Podcast. And he talks about how to do all that kind of stuff, how to write show notes. The show notes are what you see on my website, where I kind of explain what the podcast was about. And, he's given me some really great advice about how to do stuff because, like I said, I went into this really having no idea. So that gave me some really great tips on kind of how to work a show.
Well, talk about the equipment you're using right now then.
Oh, that's what I was wondering if you wanted to.
Well, first off,
I'm not very technical.
Well, the microphones we're talking into are Electro Voice RE50. These are microphones that require phantom power. Now, a phantom power means you have to have a power source for the microphone to work. And these are the phantom power. Now, these microphones are the old, old broadcast microphones. There's much better microphones out there now. But you can spend anywhere from $50 up to $1,000 on microphones. I bought these microphones on eBay for, I think, $100 for a couple of them. And they're very good, durable microphones. But they're not the best quality microphones. But these are 50 years old. This brand of microphone is 50 years old. And I still think they're being made. Now, we've got the microphone going into a Mackie mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mackie mixer, this Mackie mixer is a fairly old Mackie mixer. It's probably 15, 20 years old. They've got better ones out now. But all a mixer does is allow you to take multiple inputs. Michelle and I are each on different microphones right now, and the output from the microphones goes into the mixer, and the mixer output goes into the little recorder we've got. And we've got, this one allows us to do a right and a left channel. So when you're editing, Michelle can shut me up if she wants to and not shut up herself. And that goes into the recorder. Ooh, we're way over. Look at that. Whenever I see that blinking, that means we're over.
Yep.
We're over.
We're talking.
Yeah, talking too loud. There we go. That's better.
Part of the show is constantly adjusting our sound and, you know, making sure that we're not over, because if you get too loud, it distorts the sound. So that's another behind-the-scenes thing that not a lot of people realize, that is that it's basically a whole science to get the microphone to a good level for recording.
So my earlier, we just turned down the gain on my microphone, so my earlier gain is going to be a little distorted, and now it's going to sound a little better from here on out. But that's what you have to learn to do. Just always a learning process. So it goes, and then we have our little recorder. Now, you've recorded a couple different ways, Michelle, right?
Yeah, most of the time. And also a picture of the handheld recorder that I use. But a lot of the time, I just use a handheld recorder. And I just typically do that at my house. Sometimes I'm sitting on the couch or, you know, just sitting in front of the computer. And it actually does a really good job. It's, I think, as far as the sound goes, it sounds very similar. But at times where I'm interviewing more than one person, it's usually easier to have the two different mics, which is why we're at my dad's office today, because that's where he has all the equipment. But yeah, sometimes I'll use the handheld recorder. To give you guys kind of like a typical view of what it's like. Well, today it's about 5 o'clock p.m. Salt Lake time. And my dad just finished work, so I just called him up and I said, hey, Dad, can I come over and do a podcast? And he said yes. And then once I got here, I told him I actually want him to be in it. So he was kind enough to oblige.
But I've been after you for the last month to get another podcast out.
He has. My listeners should know that anytime I don't put out a podcast, he is, you know, telling me I need to get another one out. And as you're kind of aware now, that doing a whole podcast show is really a big undertaking, and it takes a lot of time, just the amount of time of preparing what you're going to talk about, and then sitting down and recording it, and then editing it. I can spend, you know, there's been some podcasts that I've probably spent upwards of 6 or more hours editing. And then, you know, there are those episodes that take less time, but it's definitely a big production every time I do it. Yeah, so that's kind of why I've kind of had a little break.
Yeah, now the recorders, we've got two recorders. The one we're recording in today is the Handy Recorder Zoom H4N. And this is really a very high-quality recorder. I think it's less than $400. But the one Michelle normally records in is another Zoom recorder, but it's just the H2. And this is an older generation, but the quality on this is very good. Now, when you record, Michelle, what format do you record in? WAV files, right?
Oh, yeah, WAV files.
And then you have to convert them to MP3 files, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Audacity program will allow you to do, or how it allows you to do. Trouble with WAV files is they're big, big files. But the quality is much higher in a WAV file. So I always encourage Michelle to do all of her editing in a WAV file. When she's all done with her edits, save it and then convert it to a MP3 file, which is what is uploaded to iTunes, because they're much smaller and more compressed files, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So those are kind of the basics. I don't know. Most people probably listening aren't really that interested in how to produce a podcast, but I kind of wanted to just give you an idea of what it looks like behind the scenes when you hear me talking, where I'm at, what I'm doing. So I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in, and thanks again for all your feedback. I sure do appreciate each and every one of you, and I hope this kind of answers some of your questions about what it's like to produce a podcast and the behind the scenes. So I'll see you next time.